And those we remember today. We actually remember our veterans in November. But any time we look at those who served our country and gave their lives, I also like to look at these men because they served many times alongside of somebody who maybe in your presence gave their life for the freedoms that we enjoy today. And so we thank you for your service and thank you for your willingness to serve our country in that way. Memorial Day is to honor and remember those who lost their lives while serving our country. It's always celebrated the last Monday in May. It started after the war between the states. It used to be called Decoration Day because families, especially in the South, went to the graveyards and placed flags, flowers, and wreaths on the graves of the soldiers who had lost their lives. When I was traveling throughout Europe by myself and, well, actually with two other guys back in 1985, my goal was to visit the American military cemeteries. And I visited the one in Luxembourg where General George Patton is buried. And I was overwhelmed with emotion as I looked at the 5,000 gravestones that were there, the men, mainly those who had lost their lives in the Battle of the Bulge. Even as I say Battle of the Bulge, there are some young people here who say, what was that? We're going to be talking about neglected memorials. I also went to the beaches of Normandy. And that's a whole story in itself of getting there and coming back. But again, overwhelmed. Over 10,000 gravestones there of men who lost their lives. If I were to say Omaha Beach, Utah Beach, young people might say, well, I know the state Utah, I know the city Omaha. That's about as far as it goes. Today, neglected memorials. On this Memorial Day tomorrow, we need to remember those who did not return from our wars. Thanksgiving is the day when we pause to give thanks to God for the freedom that we have. Memorial Day is the day when we pause to thank the Lord for the people who fought and died for the freedom that we have. And we call it Memorial Day. Remember. Why don't we just naturally remember this? I mean, someone giving his life for our country? Why is it that we just don't remember that? Because we are prone to forget, folks. How many times have you heard it said, we will never forget? That's what they said December 7, 1941. We will never forget. And we have forgotten. That's why there's a Memorial Day, and I'm thankful that there is, to make us pause, to make us think. I read an interesting story the other day that really illustrates what I'm trying to say here, how easy it is to forget, how easy it is to overlook. This has to do with a man by the name of William Bill Crawford. William Bill Crawford, during the 1970s, served as a janitor at the Air Force Academy south of here, Colorado Springs. That's all he was. To the cadets there, he was just somebody who cleaned up after them, and they would try to be friendly with him, but they wouldn't give him a second thought. William Crawford worked and did his best. Everything was clean, to the very best that anybody could do. But he was just somebody that they would pass in the hallway, perhaps on their way to class or on their way to some kind of a parade or something. And men would often just overlook this man who was just a janitor. And now let me read you the testimony of a man who was a cadet at that time who said, "That changed one fall Saturday afternoon in 1976. I was reading a book about World War II and the tough Allied ground campaign in Italy when I stumbled across an incredible story. On September 13, 1943, a private, William Crawford from Colorado, assigned to the 36th Infantry Division, had been involved in some bloody fighting on Hill 424 near Altavilla, Italy. The words on the page leaped out at me. In the face of intense and overwhelming hostile fire, with no regard for personal safety, on his own initiative, Private Crawford single-handedly attacked fortified enemy positions. It continued, "For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity, at risk of life above and beyond the call of duty, the President of the United States." He was reading this article in his room there at the Air Force Academy. And he read that this man was given the Medal of Honor. And he said, "You're not going to believe this," to his roommate. "I think our janitor is a Medal of Honor winner." And he wanted to say, "We all knew that he was a World War II Army vet, but that didn't keep my friend from looking at me like I was crazy." They met Mr. Crawford bright and early Monday, showed him the page in question from the book, anticipation and doubt on their faces. He stared at the page for a few silent moments and then quietly uttered something like, "Yep, that's me." Mouths agape, my roommate and I looked at one another, then at the book and quickly back at our janitor. Almost at once we stuttered, "Why didn't you ever tell us about it?" He slowly replied after some thought, "That was one day in my life, and it happened a long time ago." And he goes on in his story, this man who recognized that he was a Medal of Honor winner, he goes on to tell the story how that from that day forward, word spread throughout the Air Force Academy. Our janitor is a Medal of Honor winner. From then on, when guys would pass him in the hallway, they acknowledged him. From then on, they invited William Crawford to all their meetings. And he would come dressed in a sharp blue suit with his medal around his neck. All of a sudden, William Crawford became a different man. He walked around with shoulders set back and with a gait in his step. He had finally been recognized for something everybody else had forgotten. Because you see, folks, we tend to forget. Even when somebody risked his life as this man did, and I don't have the time to read you the citation from President Ronald Reagan when he awarded him the Medal of Honor years later for what he did. But what he did, he should have died. But he saved his fellow soldiers. He joined the Army in 1942, retired in 1967 with the rank of Master Sergeant. He died in March of 2000 at the age of 81. He is buried at the United States Air Force Academy Cemetery, the only U.S. Army enlisted man buried there. But we tend to forget. "And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." I just read to you Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Would you turn there with me, please? If you don't have a Bible, I trust you'll listen closely. As you read Judges 2 and verse 10, that another generation came up after them which did not know the Lord, did not know the works which he had done for Israel. I ask, how is that possible? Do you know the story of Israel coming out of Egypt? Miraculously delivered by God? Passing through the Red Sea miraculously in the wilderness, for 40 years. And then when that rebellious generation died, crossing the Jordan River, which God opened for them when they passed through on dry ground, coming into the land of Canaan, going to the city of Jericho. Everybody knows about the Battle of Jericho. The walls fell down. God delivered that city completely into their hands. And then battle after battle after that, where the people of Israel came into the land of Canaan because God had given it to them. And they subdued the land of Canaan. And you say, wow, what a history. Well, you would never forget about the fact that God led them through the Red Sea and that He split it wide open. You would never forget that. Well, they did. They would never forget that God had taken the Jordan River during its flood season and made the waters pile up backward up to the city of Adam so that they could walk through on dry ground. They would never forget that. One generation later, they had. One generation. The Battle of Jericho, the Battle of Ai, the Battle of Bethel, the battle after battle after battle, where Joshua prayed and God allowed the sun to stand still so that they could finish their fight. We'll never forget that. They did. I was in Germany in 1985 and went to a place called Camp Dachau, one of the concentration camps that the Germans had during World War II, where thousands of Jews were slaughtered. And as I went into this camp, what used to be the camp, I saw in huge letters, "Never forget." And so I went into what used to be the buildings where the German headquarters would be there in the camp. And I also went into the barracks where they held some of these Jews captive and mistreated them. I also went to the ovens where they cremated them. But in this, where they have the German headquarters, where they had the German headquarters, it is now a place where they have large photos and captions describing all the atrocities that the Germans committed there. And I was going to each picture and I was studying them and reading the captions. And as I was reading these captions, I got close to a group of people and there was an older man, a short, stooped older man. And he was looking at this picture and he was saying, "This guy..." And I'm trying to get up close. This is in Germany, but this guy is an American. And he's speaking English. And I became very interested in what he was saying. He began to describe the photos. He began to tell these people who were with him some of the names of the people in the photos. And so I didn't want to interrupt, but when I had a chance, when he was maybe going to the next photo, I got up to him and I said, "Sir, may I ask you, how is it you know these so many things about these photos?" He said, "I'm a Jew. I was incarcerated here. I knew these people." He said, "These people, this is my grandson. These are my great-grandchildren." He said, I said I would never come back here. But I had to, because I want them to never forget." And yet I dare say that those kids who were really small at the time probably remember going with Grandpa and Great-Grandpa years ago, 1985. But I wonder how many of them will be able to pass that on to their children who will never see it. Because it's so easy to forget. And you look at this after 65 years, only 65 years. You're reading what takes place here in Judges chapter 2. And verse 10, "That generation was gathered to their fathers. There arose another generation after them which did not know the Lord, did not know the works which He had done." They didn't know about the Red Sea, the Jordan River, the Battle of Jericho, the sun standing still. They didn't know about these things. Why? And I look at our country today, I look at some of the colleges, Princeton, Yale, Harvard, once great institutions, now cesspools of iniquity, cesspools of raunchy philosophy. England, once a great missionary center, once the place where the greatest preacher Charles Spurgeon lived, now a country steeped in idolatry. I look at our country, now being overrun with wickedness and corruption. Many of you have said, I know, because you've said it to me a generation ago, my parents, my grandparents wouldn't believe this. They wouldn't believe it. What's happened? What about the family that was once strong spiritually? The family that was together, the families that were happy. What has happened to families? And years ago, as I was studying here in Judges chapter 2, I returned to the previous books. I specifically remember doing this. Why do these people forget? Didn't God put some things together, some safeguards that would keep this from happening? And as I looked back in the previous books, what are the previous books? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Isn't there something? Didn't God do something to make these people remember? Because I knew He had to. Because it's never His fault. It's always our fault. Folks, you look at what's happening in this world today. You blame God. You're wrong. It's always due to men. And it's always due to men forgetting. There were some neglected memorials. Well, how are we going to make sure that the same things will not happen to us? Three things this morning, very quickly. There were memorials that God had given to remind these people of Him and His works. He had given them some memorials. I've got three of them. These are the only three that I've got. There's probably more. He gave them the law as a memorial. He gave them lessons. He gave them landmarks. So that these people would never forget. Number one, God had given the people the law. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 with me, please. And I'm going to have you turn to a number of scriptures, so please stay with me so that you can get the most out of this message. God had given His people the law as a memorial. He gave it as revelation in verses 5 through 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. God says, behold, I have... Moses is saying, inspired by God, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so on the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? What nation is there so great? That's what was said about the nation of Israel. It used to be said about our country. Because there was a day when in the United States of America, God's word was held in high esteem. Now you can't even place the Ten Commandments anywhere without somebody suing you for it. And I say that it's your attitude toward the word of God and this country's attitude toward God's word that is a reflection of where we are spiritually and therefore strength-wise in this land. But the children of Israel, Moses is saying, God gave you this law to reveal Himself to you. And you are a privileged people to have that. Look at verse 9. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. You see that? Lest you forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But here's how you keep this. Teach them. Thy sons and thy sons' sons. You see, that's how a memorial is ongoing. You teach this to the next generation. You tell them what happened. You give them the stories of how God has delivered you. But we tend to forget God's law as revelation. Secondly, we tend to forget God's law as righteousness. There you are in Deuteronomy 4. Go to two chapters later, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt, here you go again, teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Today we have a generation of people who look at God's word, young people I'm saying, they look at God's word and it means nothing. They're flippant about it. What's going to happen one generation from now? You think it's bad now, and it's bad. I don't know how it can be that the Lord's not going to be coming back very soon. But it will get worse. Look at verses 20 to 25 of that same chapter 6. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt. Stop. Do you still have your finger there in Judges 2? If you don't, listen to what I'm going to read here. They forgot the works which God had done for Israel. What is he telling them here? The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, signs, wonders, and so forth. Verse 23, he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. The law as righteousness. What do you think happened by the time you get to Judges chapter 2? I dare say that we're not going to teach this anymore. We don't have time today. They began to neglect. They began to neglect the observance of God's law. They began to neglect what God had said. God had given the law as a memorial. Secondly, God had given the lessons as a memorial. Exodus chapter 32, please, where he gives them the lesson of separation. Just a week ago, somebody was telling me, we don't like to hear about separation. We're tired of hearing about separation. Why do I preach on separation so much? Exodus 32:26. Then Moses stood on the gate of the camp and said, who was on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. You see, there had been sin. There had been some idolaters. They had been worshiping the golden calf. And Moses said, okay, those of you who want to serve the Lord, separate yourselves. You come over here. Why would Moses do that? Because he is teaching them a lesson. Never associate with the disobedience. Today we talk about toleration. And many believe that we can coexist. You cannot sin, folks, without hurting other people. Sin affects others beside the sinner himself. That's why you can't blame God for what's taking place. You can't blame God for a war. You can't blame God for anything that happens that is wrong. You blame man. You blame sin. You blame man being disobedient to God. And that one man's sin is going to have an effect upon you. It's going to have an effect on a lot of other people. He teaches them the lesson of separation. You see, the children of Israel thought that they could coexist. Oh, we can coexist with these people. Because we want to be kind to them. God had told them, you do not coexist. If you're keeping your finger in Judges chapter 2, and if you haven't yet, just do that. Make sure your finger's there in Judges 2, because we're going to keep going back there. Look at Judges 2. Look at verses 2 and 3. God had said in the past, ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. See, they had disobeyed God. He had said, when you go into this land, you are to completely destroy them, their idols and everything. There should not be anything left that would have any possibility of influencing you. Learn the lesson of separation. So God had given them that safeguard. And as I was going back and studying before the book of Judges, I'm looking at these safeguards. God had told them, listen, if you will separate yourselves, it's not going to have an influence on you. They did have that us versus them mentality. And then there's the lesson of service that you find in Joshua chapter 24. You know this passage. Some of you have this passage hanging up in your homes, perhaps on a plaque. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt, serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Choose who you're going to serve. Who are you serving? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what you're serving. You're serving idols. You're serving yourself. Benjamin, would you please turn the fans on? I see people fanning themselves, and that's the way I am up here. Turn them all three on medium. Get some air flowing in here. It's that lesson of service. I am going to serve the Lord. Here's the lesson. You cannot serve two masters. You're either going to serve God, or you're going to serve something else. Can you serve God and money? Cannot do it. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. Can you serve God and man? No, it's got to be God first. The disciples, the apostles said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and man. You cannot serve God and country. You say, wait a second, we hear this all the time. Well, let me explain. Our citizenship is in heaven. You will best serve your country when you serve God first. Then you can serve your country, but always it's God first. You cannot serve God and family. There are some people who elevate their family up here and God's down here. You're going to be in trouble. Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, in other words, my love and service to God ought to be such that in comparison, it's hatred for my family. You want to best serve your family? Love God first. That's why he says there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. You cannot serve God and yourself either. There's no such thing as self-esteem in the Bible. The Bible talks about God esteem and others esteem. It never talks about self-esteem. They had forsaken, folks, the lessons of separation and the lesson of service. And thirdly, they had forsaken the landmarks. God gave them landmarks. We don't have time to turn it, but I just want to mention two of them to you. The landmark of deliverance. You remember when they had the Passover? When God instituted the Passover there in Egypt, what was the Passover for? The Passover was a rite, a ritual to be observed for what reason? To remember that night when they had been delivered from death. That's the whole reason for the Passover. Apparently, they had been neglecting the Passover. That was that landmark of deliverance. And every Christian has a landmark. You know what your landmark is? It's a pit. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. That's Isaiah 51:1. Hey, look back at that pit. You know what it used to be like in your life? When your life was full of turmoil and serving of self, go back to the pit. There it is. There is that landmark. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, says, you know, all the things that I counted as valuable to me, I now count as, does anybody remember the word? Dung, a pile of manure. There's your landmark, folks. A pile of manure. That's my old life before I began to serve Christ. So there's the landmark of deliverance that all of us need to remember. And there's secondly and lastly, the landmark of dedication. The landmark of deliverance is the Passover. The landmark of dedication is the passing over. Do you remember what happened when the children of Israel went through the Jordan River? Do you remember that they took something out of the river? Remember this? Each man, one from each tribe, took a huge stone. It had to be huge because it says, the Bible says, they put it upon their shoulder. And they took that stone out of the middle of the Jordan River and hauled it out, came outside of the river. And what they do with that pile, with each stone? They made a pile of stones. And they said, this stone, this pile is never to be taken down. We want to remember that God delivered us. And this is where we were passing over from wilderness wandering now to God's promised land that He's given us. That's the Christian life when it's lived as it ought to be lived. But I wonder if somebody saw that pile of stones and said, you know what, this pile of stones is getting in the way of progress. We need to move this pile of stones. Because somehow that landmark of dedication was no longer reminding people. And the Passover itself, I know, was not faithfully being observed, because you'll read when you get to King Hezekiah that since the day it was observed to Hezekiah's time, it had never been observed properly. Something had happened. Folks, here's the crux of this message. We tend to forget. We tend to forget. Wow, you can't even remember what I preached last Sunday. I can't either. I can, but could you? It's on the family, remember? What did I preach a year and a half ago on May? I don't know. That's why we have to go back and look and remember and study. What did you read in your devotions 3 weeks ago? Well, I'd have to go back in my journal and see what I was reading. And I do that frequently. I go back and here's what I was studying on this day. Here's what I was reading. The point is that we're not supposed to have these memories that are these traps that remember everything. If you memorize a verse, what do you have to do? Over and over and over. And folks, if we're going to remember, we have to constantly remind ourselves what God has given us. Because all of us have the tendency to forget. They forgot William Crawford. And I dare say many people have forgotten the day that they were saved. And perhaps the day that they said to the Lord, Lord, I surrender everything to You. I want to give You everything. They knew not the Lord. And what happened in Israel is happening today. There's the pressure to tolerate sin, pressure that will be upon our children. Folks, we've got to teach that the Bible is God's Word, to practice separation, to choose to serve God, to remember the pit that God brought us out of, to keep visible the stones of dedication when we lust to go back into Egypt. God gave us His law as revelation and righteousness. God gave us lessons of separation and service. God gave us landmarks of deliverance and dedication. Neglected memorials in your life? I trust not. Father, I pray that